As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Ernst on the sneak. Kyle drives his way in. Touchdown.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The journeys are what it's all about. I love Jalen Hurts.
It's always the beginning until it's the end.
Dude is a winner.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Philadelphia Eagles laid the wood to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Earlier on the show, Eagles cornerback Cooper DeJean. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMenamin. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Albert Breer will be joining us in just about 20 minutes' time. Fresh back from New Orleans. Lots to talk about. Kellen Moore staying behind. He's going to be the next coach of the New Orleans Saints. Also, some items that we didn't discuss while we were Super Bowl-centric on the Jets. And Aaron Rodgers apparently going to part ways.
Ooh.
You see that one?
More on that later.
Oh, we have more on that later? What do you mean? Oh, on Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday? Well, guess what? I'm gonna give my 2 cents on this right here. I'm Omaha-ing.
Where is Aaron right now?
Well, apparently, you know, according to Jay Glazer.
Glazer.
He hopped a plane.
Yeah, they invited
himself
him. Yeah.
To go to the Jets facility for them to tell him face to face. Turn around and go back.
Oh. We don't know where he was.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe he was out here, I guess.
I'm imagining wherever he was, he flew in just to be told, I don't think he's going to work out, which is the exact opposite of what happened when they went to first get him. Remember they flew out?
Yeah, to Malibu.
On Air Woody?
Yeah.
With Robert Saleh and everybody and Joe Douglas, the general manager. In other words, everybody that Woody fired during the season last year.
Oh, good point.
Just 1 year after going on Air Woody to tell Aaron, hey, we want you to come to New Jersey.
Yeah, good point.
And you bring your Hall of Fame resume, and that's all that's needed to take this young roster that Joe Douglas expertly put together through the last couple of drafts to the point where we're ready to win now. We're ready to win now. We're ahead of schedule thanks to our offensive and defensive rookies of the year and everybody else balling out. And yada, yada, yada. Didn't work out. Most disappointing two-year stretch I can remember for the Jets. And then four snaps in and he snaps his Achilles. And then the next year, he and the Jets had a ghost ship of a season. But you can't blame Aaron Glenn for wanting a completely fresh start, that we're going to run the offense that I want to run. Mm-hmm. I'm imagining it's something that Aaron Rodgers could understand or maybe doesn't want to do either. Right? If he's the end of a stretch and wants to keep playing. Sure, you know, he and Davante Adams could run it back for the Jets, but this is not a fantasy camp for two guys who love playing together. And I don't know. Obviously, it might not have been contentious at all. It might have been like, hey, this is what we're thinking. What are you thinking? This is what I'm thinking. Well, at the end of the day, I guess we should go our separate ways. Oh, sure. Okay. Hug it out and gone. I don't know what happened in that meeting. The reports all came out at the same time. Did you notice that too during the Sunday morning shows? As if somebody on one of the sides of this decided to call everybody and say it's over and use this moment to let it be known.
Is there an insider group text?
I don't know.
Like Schefter, Tom,
I don't think so. Diana, but I think it's definitely a coordinated moment where everybody had the same scoopage, to use one word. Yeah. And it makes total sense. I just don't know who the Jets are going to go to. I don't know if would they take Shador if he drops.
Ooh, that's fun.
Would they go ahead and say welcome to New York? You imagine the Giants and the Jets are the ones who wind up with quarterbacks in the top of this draft.
So Jets are seven.
Well, the Raiders are right in front of them. So one would think that
they'd have to go up.
They'd have to go up if they love them.
Yeah.
And the Jaguars would definitely sit there. They're sitting there five thinking, we don't need a quarterback. Everybody knows the Raiders are about to go take one or thinks that they do. Hey, who wants to sit right there? I'm sure the Patriots would raise their hands and say, we'll go first in that regard. If you want to beat anyone in the punch, go up to four.
Patriots and Jets doing a draft day trade would be something, but you get an extra
Bills and the Chiefs just did one. The Commanders and the Eagles did one for Cooper DeJean, our first hour guest.
I bet the Bills would want that one back.
I don't know, man. We'll see how Keon Coleman works out. I'm just throwing it all out there that you know, how wild would it be if the Jets go, you know what would be perfect for us right now is Sam Darnold, who, by the way,
would kind of be perfect for them right now.
But all those options for the Jets should be entertained. The last 2 years needs to be wiped out. You remember how the Jets got wiped out by the Patriots in a regular season game? And don't answer yet, because there's many of those. But the one that caused Rex Ryan to bury the football. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years for the Jets should be buried like next to that football. If they have that territory still there, if that football is buried at the Jets facility somewhere still, they should, like a graveyard, like a Jets let's memory hole graveyard, they should find a plot next to it, come up with a football that's like a game ball from the last two seasons and bury one from each of the last two seasons and just bury it and move on. And guys, I know people will lay stuff on Rodgers' lap. It is a collective. And, you know, I can't wait to see what Aaron Glenn brings to this equation, what the new general manager brings to this equation. I told you the first order of business for the general manager, it should be to figure out Garrett Wilson. And the first order of business for Aaron Glenn should be going right to Sauce Gardner and saying, whatever caused you to respond on social media to somebody saying, talk to T. Higgins to come to the Jets, and you're like, basically, nah, I'm not going to do that to him. Whatever caused Sauce Gardner to lose his faith and have any sort of his confidence in succeeding in New Jersey and New York for the Jets shaken in any way, fix that. That's Aaron Glenn's first order of business. You go to the two offensive and defensive rookies of the year that you have. Those, you go to those ROIs and say, we buried those footballs. Last 2 years are gone. Done. You got Tyrod Taylor in the house. Great guy. You want to get somebody younger in front of him? Great. You want to go with Tyrod Taylor next year and figure out and kick the can down the road? I'm fine with that, too. I mean, the Jets are, you know, I have a young team and you want to win now, but what are you going to do? You're going to hope Kirk Cousins pops free and you're going to go with another guy from another team coming off another Achilles injury? You're going to go with him? Who else? I mean, you want to call up Les Snead and go YOLO for Matthew Stafford?
Ooh.
I can't imagine that is anywhere in the cards. You know, you're going to go with somebody else who's pushing the end of retirement? You got to find yourself the next guy. You got to find yourself your Jaden Daniels, your CJ Stroud. You got to find your Mahomes. You got to find your guy. And if it's not in this draft, the next one, take your freaking time. Get the culture right. But it makes sense to part ways with Rodgers. And for Rodgers, I don't know what he's. Remember that Red Hot Titans rumor? Remember that one?
Well, he has a place in
that house
Nashville,
in Nashville.
Right?
Yeah. Everyone was doing lifestyles, right. The rich and famous. Uh-huh. You're trying to Zillow your way to understanding the quarterback market?
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep.
I mean, that's not a bad choice, but that's not a way to go out like, you know, Elway, if that's what he's envisioning. Raiders? You do that? You go to Tom Brady and say, what do you think? And
Rich, in case you're wondering, you can bet on this.
Okay.
The favorites are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's not a bad choice either. That's not a bad choice. And again, it's all about what Rodgers wants to do. Does he want to keep playing still? If I'm him, I'd want to.
He, you know, the wins and losses weren't there, but his numbers were fairly decent.
If he's feeling good about himself and he can find a situation with a coach he knows is not going to get fired after 5 weeks, you know, and he can install himself in a manner in which he's comfortable. I'd entertain that idea if I'm a franchise that needs somebody over 1, 2, or 3 years. Don't forget, I mean, if this is the narrative that's playing out, okay, that the Jets take an all-time Packers great who goes there and has a completely forgettable tenure, a total disappointment of a tenure, and then he goes somewhere else and damn near makes the Super Bowl, that's the Favre journey. Obviously, that wound up in Minnesota. That's not where Rodgers is going.
They're the fourth best odds.
Come on, is Minnesota?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Well, you're not going to like who's third then.
Who would that be?
Well, San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Would you rather pay Purdy 60 or Rodgers
right.
30 million?
All right. All right. All right. Let's just talk about this too. This is great. We had planned none of this. Okay. The San Francisco stuff is nuts. I don't understand the Purdy slander and the Purdy hate. And everybody assumes Purdy is going to hold out for every penny. Everybody assumes that Purdy's going to get that $60 million. I don't know if that's what Purdy and the 49ers are going to work out. If I'm Purdy, I'll take the generationally brilliant price tag of Goff. I'll take the generationally brilliant price tag of what Mahomes is playing for right now.
Kyler Murray.
You know, I would do that and just know that I need to make sure I'm protected up front and I've got the weaponry that's required of me to show that I'm the guy. And in terms of the Purdy hate, I mean, who can be trusted more about knowing quarterbacks and quarterbacking and worthiness of being a quarterback than Joe Montana? Tell me. Oh, Joe's the all-time great. He's a GOAT. He's this. He's that. He's Joe Cool. He knows exactly what to do under pressure. He's neck up, one of the best. Neck down, no, and, you know, he's not winning any contests. Even Montana said he wasn't winning a lot of numbers contests when he stopped by our show last week at the Super Bowl. But going out the door, I asked Joe Montana, what about Purdy? He's like, they should pay him. He didn't stutter. He didn't go, well, I mean, I need to see more out of him. Well, I don't know, guys. Well, no, Joe Montana's like, pay him. He should be the quarterback of the future, says Joe Montana, of the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Suddenly there are people, I saw responses to the video he posted.
Well,
and
Rich,
suddenly, what does he know about quarterbacks?
Well, Rich, if you listen to these people, he won 4 Super Bowls, but they were like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
They don't count.
Also,
no,
wait
all
a minute.
That stuff doesn't count because it happened over 10 years ago. So,
plus, you know. And he was a system guy.
Yeah.
Product of the Walsh system. You know?
Without Rice,
he's nothing.
Yeah, man.
He's on the Walsh
street.
Except, wait a minute, he won one without Rice.
It happened before the iPhone came out. So,
by the way,
clearly doesn't matter.
Those games were in black and white, too, right?
Standard definition quarterbacks shouldn't be talking about 21st century issues.
He was playing against plumbers and things.
You know
what
I mean?
No score bug.
It was only eight yards on the field.
Yeah, it's before that.
So Purdy haters who are the ones saying, you know what? The Niners are going to blink and they're going to go, we're not paying Purdy. We'd rather take Aaron Rodgers at age 41. We're going to punt Purdy. So the third best odds of where Aaron Rodgers is showing up is San Francisco.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Some places it's the second best.
They're going to pay Purdy. People will have a problem with paying Purdy. And all I will say to those people is, oh, so Joe Montana doesn't know what he's talking about. About quarterbacking for the 49ers. Oh, okay.
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 Okay, buddy.
I'm just reporting what the sports books are saying. You know what I mean? I don't know.
All right.
The Saints are also on there.
Come on.
Seahawks, Browns.
No, the Saints are not a bad option also.
Yeah, there's spots on there. So,
you know, that's not a bad – these are not bad options, but Rodgers wants to win before – he wants to go out like Elway and Strahan and Bettis, you know.
Ray Lewis.
Browns would be a good spot.
You know,
Steelers are a good spot.
Browns would be a good spot. Interesting. Would that cause Myles Garrett to go, wait a minute?
No.
Potentially.
I don't know.
No,
I don't think anything's going to cause Myles Garrett to know that, to say that.
Yeah, he has like double, tripled, and quadrupled down on wanting a
ever
trade.
Since then.
Yeah.
Yeah. After us.
So he's just like kept throwing chips into the middle of the table.
Yeah, he was on ESPN Super Sunday.
Yeah, literally on Sunday, like, yeah, no, I want out. Yeah.
I'm out of here.
All right, we'll take a break. Albert Breer will join us next, fresh back from New Orleans. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday still to come. It's Dave McMenamin on the Luka LeBron debut still on our docket. I got a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I'll give you a moment. Time's up. If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. That's right. You can now buy a Hyundai on Amazon, the same place where you order yoga mats, a toothbrush, and pretty much everything else, all from the comfort of your home. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. I mean, picture this. You're in your PJs, snugged in on your couch. You pull up Amazon on your phone and start the process right there. Just locate a nearby dealer, pick your color, your options, check the price, and with a few dotting of some I's and crossing of some T's, voila, your Hyundai is ready for pickup. It's that easy. Just remember to put some real clothes on before you head over, will you? Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability only through participating Hyundai dealers in select markets.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Auto Parts.
As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases. And you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge. So you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Back here on the program, what are you guys talking about over there? What's happening? What am I missing?
I'm sworn to secrecy.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, talk about it. There's stuff that's set off the air that's just set off the air.
I had no idea. I had Fight Club over there.
No, I mean, this is... I'll tell you later.
All right, so screw you guys. You keep talking. Hey, TJ, what's going on over there?
I mean, they were talking about some party.
Oh,
somebody went to. I wasn't at.
So what's the problem?
We pivoted off of that. Oh. We were talking about something we talked about earlier that Mike said he wasn't there for, but he actually was there for.
Now he has to bring
you
that
really
up.
Were there for Gaga?
Why would
you lie about not being
I'm
there?
I'm not confirming or denying. I'm confirming or denying. I might not have. I might have. Now I'm not.
What a special moment. I would talk about that nonstop. What's the problem? Oh, because you were unauthorized to be there? You snuck in?
I mean, I'm never unauthorized.
I mean, it wasn't like
it sounds like
law enforcement was all over that place and represented by T-shirts and hats.
Yes.
You know, it looked like federal, local and state authorities were all there.
I will neither confirm
and you
nor
snuck
deny.
In.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, Mike.
I know people.
I know you know people. That's why I thought you'd be invited because you're such a Fox guy.
I
and
wanted
they invited
to be on camera. That was sad.
Dude, they invited everybody there. You know, what are you laughing about? Like, was Homer Simpson there? I mean, like, literally everyone from Fox was there.
Everyone was there. I saw Wit in the background. Well, hard to miss Wit in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know why you just didn't tell us you were there the first time.
I might not have been. I wasn't there. I was there. I did not confirm. I'm not confirming whether I was there. I am not.
Should we guess why
he's I don't tell you guys everything I do
about this.
It doesn't make sense.
Speaking of squirrels, you know who was there? The rodent that you're feeding out of your hand
on
Instagram.
I'm going to see him this afternoon.
Oh, say hi to your rodent.
That poor squirrel hasn't eaten in a week and a half.
You realize you're like playing with fire by hand feeding a squirrel.
That squirrel for sure has rabies.
What
and you're going to get
do
bit.
Not have rabies. Not every squirrel's rabies.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grangewood Supplies and Solutions for every industry. Granger has the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. When TJ just taps out of a Del Tufo conversation, I know that he's just like, he's out of it.
TJ, you want to feed the squirrel?
I mean,
definitely doesn't. All right. From Sports Illustrated, our buddy, Mr. MMQB himself from Prime Video as well. Thursday Night Football's Albert Breer. Good to see you, brother. How are you?
Good to see you, Rich. I apologize in advance if my voice is a little scratchy.
No,
right
no,
now.
It's everybody. Everybody got something there, dude. Seriously, everybody brought something home from New Orleans, and I'm not talking about a snow globe. Like, you know what I mean? It's just the town was lit. There were people everywhere. I could see you're fighting it off, and I appreciate you doing this show here. Your impressions of Super Bowl 59, you were there. You were interviewing people galore afterwards. I'll give you the floor and your takeaway from Super Bowl 59, Albert Breer.
Two things. Number one, just complete organizational triumph. I think, you know, like a lot of times, like we want to assign credit in the aftermath of a Super Bowl with one person or one figure or one area of a team, you know, and it's, you know, the quarterback or, you know, when the Giants won those Super Bowls, it was the D-line or, you know, the coach in a lot of cases. And, you know, I don't want this to be taken as taking away from Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts or the offensive or defensive lines. But I mean, to me, what this is complete, total organizational triumph. People like me should have seen it coming because they played this way against Washington in the NFC title game too, you know, but I think if you look up and down the operation, it's just it's a franchise that's humming, and you have Howie Roseman at the top of his game as the general manager, with a vast personnel department that goes well beyond scouting. It's how they develop players. It's the investment that goes into all of that. It's, you know, it's the coaching staff, you know, and not just Nick Sirianni, but the great coordinators he had in Kellen Moore, who's off to New Orleans now, and Vic Fangio, who's one of the greatest of all time at calling a defense. And then it's the roster, you know, it's just, it's hard to find a hole, you know, and, the job they did in kind of, you know, addressing some of the holes they did have, like the secondary was an issue, right? Overall team speed on defense was an issue. So they draft Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and they find Zach Bond as kind of like a mid-level gem on the trade market or on the free agent market. And I mean, wouldn't you know it, but DeJean and Bond are making two of the biggest plays in the Super Bowl. You know, and then there's all the homegrown talent there, you know, guys like Hurts, guys like, you know, guys like Jordan Mulata, you know, that were really developed there and developed through the system. Josh Sweat was developed there over the years, you know. It's unbelievable. Like if you look at it at every level, you know, and it's even though they've gotten things wrong, you know, I'm going on and on, Rich, because I think there's so many people to credit here, you know. You know, you get it wrong with Jalen Reagor and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in consecutive drafts, and then you get Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown in the two off seasons after that. you strike out with Andre Dillard at left tackle, and you wind up with Jordan Mulata. I can't say enough good things about the way that this team's been put together. And then I think if there's one thing that's replicable, because you can't replicate all of that, right? It's invest in the offensive and defensive lines. You know what I mean? Like, to me, the failure for the Chiefs here was A, they couldn't block the Eagles, and B, they couldn't get to Jalen Hurts. That was the game, right? And that's because the Eagles invested so much in the lines of scrimmage. And consider this, Rich, right? This happened in the year that Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox, mm-hmm. two team Hall of Famers, retired, and maybe two Pro Football Hall of Famers. So in the year that they lose, Jason Kelce on offense and Fletcher Cox on defense, they dominate the Super Bowl at the lines of scrimmage.
It is unbelievable. I mean, and I know you said you should have seen it coming, but really it is one of the biggest tar beatings we've witnessed in the Super Bowl this century. You know, I understand you got to put the Bucks over the Raiders in San Diego.
It's how I grew up watching.
And that's what Super Bowls used to be. But in this century, most of the Super Bowls have been really close. You know, The Ravens beat down to the Giants to kick off. You know, this century is one of them. You take a look at.
Bucks Raiders.
Yeah, Seattle over Denver as well. I mean, yeah. Right and the Bucks over the Chiefs. The Chiefs have suffered two of the beatdowns, but it's similar things. Is you go get Mahomes, and then you go and you make sure that your guy stays upright, and you win the Super Bowl. It's a great tried and true method. The question is the Ravens, Bills, rest of the AFC, Texans, anybody else that has designs to finally beat Mahomes and make sure he doesn't get there? The Bengals getting back. Passed him in back. I mean, is this a cautionary sort of blueprint? What do you think, Albert?
You mean that there's a path?
That these teams see what the Eagles have built, and some of them are close enough where you add this, you add that, and boom, you have the recipe to go hunt, and be the hunters.
So, like, I think we look at the Chiefs now. Are they? Like at the point where it's now like transition from Mahomes 1.0 to Mahomes 2.0, right? Like that's where the Patriots were after losing Super Bowl 42 to the Giants. If you remember, they had on that team Rodney Harrison, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour. There were a lot of players that were part of like the and foundation pieces of that the first phase of that dynasty. And then the 3 years after that, you know, Brady gets hurt in 08. They miss the playoffs. In 09, they win their division, but they get the tar beaten out of them by the Ravens in the wild card round. And then after that, they get back up off the mat with a younger team. They go 14-2, but they lose in the divisional round. And then, of course, in 11, they make the Super Bowl, and now you're back rolling again. Are they at that point now with, you know, Chris Jones and Travis Kelce being older? They've done a really good job of feeding that roster with some younger pieces. You know, so is like Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, you know, Creed Humphrey. You know, do you have players that are capable of being sort of those tentpole pieces, or do you have to go find them now? The AFC is going to be challenging for the foreseeable future. I mean, if you had to name the top four quarterbacks in football this year, I think most people would come up with the same list. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, all of those guys are in the AFC. We'll see what Justin Herbert can be, you know, under Jim Harbaugh now going forward. C.J. Stroud, you know, obviously had a great rookie year, had a little bit of a sophomore slump, but I think he's, you know, in that group of promising young guys too. And, you know, you have rookies like Bo Nix and Drake May. You know, it's just, it's going to be challenging to keep winning in that conference. So I don't think the Chiefs are going to, like, miss the playoffs or anything next year. Don't get me wrong. You know, but, you know, are they maybe, like, now facing the challenge of having to transition from Mahomes 1.0 to Mahomes 2.0, which, by the way, he's 30, you know, this calendar year. That to me is like kind of, you know, where I think the challenge is going to come. The next challenge is going to come for Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and all the guys running that team.
Well, I mean, I would even I'll follow up by saying you could say that this would be Mahomes 3.0, because Mahomes 2.0 is post Tyreek Hill winning two in a row anyway. You know, that going from the explosive, we can come back from 24 down on Bill O'Brien without breaking a sweat type awesomeness to we're going to make a profit by not going broke, and we're going to play defense, and then we'll just keep making all the right plays. Yeah. And that's the 2.0 version. Now, this may be the 3.0 version of it, like figuring out what the next 5-10 year plan is. I don't know how we should react to the Chiefs just yet, because they still did win 15 games, first of its kind for a back-to-back champion, made the Super Bowl, first of its kind for a back-to-back champion. I mean, they just ran into a team that I don't know if anybody was going to beat the way that they played.
I mean, I've heard people talk about the Bills and Ravens. I don't think anybody was beating the Eagles.
Not the way they're playing. I mean, they were going to go hunt down anybody, and Saquon, you know, running it 25 times and not getting any yards didn't matter. They were still staying balanced, and Hurts is one of the best winners we've seen in quite a while, and you got to give it up to him. It's just a, as you point out, totally organizational. You know, before we transition off of the Super Bowl, Albert, did the Eagles try and make a run at Kellen Moore to say stay put, you know, and hang with us? Did they spend the 24-hour period trying to make a run post Super Bowl at him?
So my understanding is both are, like, they have invested so much in the coordinators. Like, between the two of those guys, between Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio, I think the number's around $9 million per year. Mm. So you consider, like, when you're spending that much on your coordinators already, how much further do you go? Now, Chip got $6 million from the Raiders, so you could push it, and maybe they made a play to do that. You know, I think they would have loved to have kept Kellen Moore. He did a really great job. I mean, the one thing that I think, like, sort of got lost in all of this is Kellen did a great job, like, synthesizing a ton of stuff, you know, because he was inheriting staff, you know, like, they, I mean, you know, Jeff Stoutland, you know, Kevin Petullo, there are guys in that staff that were held over that, you know, had to learn Kellen Moore's offense, and Kellen Moore had to learn what they were doing. So that's a lot of head coach stuff he was doing there. So yeah, they would have loved to have kept him. I also feel like they know what they're doing here. You know what I mean? Like, and I think they had an idea that Kellen Moore could be a 1 year solution if everything worked out. And obviously it did work out. So, how hard did they push to keep him? I think the idea of keeping him was certainly something that was in play for them, but, you know, I also think they believe that they've got answers, and maybe it's Petullo who's really deserved you know, his shot to be an offensive coordinator, to run his own show somewhere. And I think he'd be a name to watch, you know, over the coming days as somebody who could replace Kellen Moore.
Okay. Wow. Chip Kelly got $6 million. I mean,
that's so much money.
That's Caleb Downs money, Albert. Wow.
Well, I mean, Brady wasn't lying about there being more money and resources in Vegas now. I think those new guys, I think the guys, you know, your Egan Durbins, your Tom Wagners, your Mike Meldmans, there's Meldman.
Some people that are helping. Look at you, Albert. Okay. I like it. But he totally didn't get my,
No, he just blew right past
your. No, I don't think he heard it.
Did I miss it? What did
I
miss?
Yeah, I said $6 million a year. That's Caleb Downs money, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They can, hey, as far as I'm concerned, I'll say this right into the camera.
Yes, sir.
They can pay Caleb Downs whatever he wants.
I'm with you. I'd be the same way. All right, Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what happened between the Jets and Aaron Rodgers exactly that you can tell us?
So the new guys there, Aaron Glenn, Darren Mooji, wanted to handle this the right way. And so, you know, like they – you know, like they didn't have an answer yet on whether or not Aaron wants to play next year, which is, you know, still something to consider. But, you know, they felt like the right way to do it would be to fly him out and have a discussion with him. And the end of that discussion is that, you know, that they're moving on. And so, I think what's fascinating to me about the point, the spot the Jets are in is like a lot of times, I feel like these teams go all in and, you know, it's win now and then it has to be a teardown after, right? Like, so you go and leverage contracts and you go and get guys the quarterback is comfortable with and Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard and last year was Randall Cobb. And, you know, you look at it at the end of that and oftentimes just like we have to tear it down. The Jets aren't in that spot. I mean, the Jets have something to sell another quarterback. If you look at their roster, right? Like this is what Joe Douglas actually did a decent job of stocking the roster with guys who are still, you know, I think in a lot of cases ascending. Garrett Wilson, Olufoshanu, Breece Hall, Quinnen Williams, Jermaine Johnson,
Sauce Gardner. I mean, you can keep going on and on.
Quincy Williams.
There's no doubt.
There are players there.
Right,
you know?
And that's why the Rodgers move made sense. It's just like add Aaron, if he's the guy from Green Bay that everybody came to know and love, and then just add him and see how it goes. We know how that all worked out. So what would be the Jet plan? Sitting there at 7 drafting, going into the free agent market, and I mean, what would the plan be here? What is planning?
I think it's a bridge quarterback for now. Like, I just think where you are at 7, there are going to be teams that are going to, I mean, you'll see in the combine in 2 weeks, Rich, you know, when you do your homework as you always do. I think there are a lot of teams that are unconvinced that there's anybody in this year's draft who can be a long-term answer at quarterback. And I think if you're in the AFC, part of the equation, I think this is the case for the Titans at 1, for the Browns at 2, certainly the Jets at 7. You have to look at the class, and part of the equation has to be, okay, we're going to draft this guy. We can get him up and running, right? Like in year 2, year 3, we can get him to a competitive level. Is he ever going to be good enough to compete with the group of Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, Stroud, Herbert, Knicks, you can maybe he could ascend potentially into that group. Maybe he could eventually ascend into that group. Herbert, I missed him. I think there, that's got to be part of the equation for you. And I just don't know if at the end of this we're going to be looking at me. And I haven't done all my homework either yet, but I don't know, like the league is going to look at Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and say yes. So, you know, I think, you know, for teams like the Jets and the Giants, like they have to look at the idea of a bridge. So who is that bridge? Does Matthew Stafford become available?
Why would he, Albert? Why would he become available? Why? I mean, because everything that you just mentioned about the draft not being all that, and then the free agency market might not be all that either. Why would the Rams want to put themselves in that position when they've got the guy in position with the coach who is as spectacular as they come, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so I don't know why why that would happen, why the Rams would willingly let that happen, you know?
I think it would be contractual.
Okay.
I think what it would be is the negotiation last year was to get contentious at times, and it took 6 months to get that deal done. And they moved $5 million forward. So he got a $5 million raise. He was looking for a raise. They guaranteed his money for 2024. They then removed all the guaranteed money for 25 and basically agreed at that time, we will revisit this in 2025. So now they're at that point. So now he's making $4 million less than he had initially been scheduled to make this year, with the other million again coming from 2026. And how do you revisit this? And if you're Matthew Stafford, do you look at it and say there are 9 quarterbacks scheduled to make over $50 million next year? And I'm making less than half of that in 2025. And then how much are you asking for? And how much are you asking for in guarantees? And are you going to tell the Rams, yes, I'm in this for this year and next year and the year after? Or is it still just a year-to-year proposition? And if you're the Rams, you look at this and you say, we're one of the youngest teams in football now. So we're looking to build around guys like Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams and Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and Kobe Turner, and Byron Young. And do we want to get younger at quarterback? Do we want to start the process of really leaning into this young core? So much of it's about timelines to me. You know what I mean? Like, so say you say, yes, we'll go forward for another year with you, Matthew. Are you now in a tough spot in 2026 as this young core is coming of age? You know, it's just, I think a lot of it has to do with those questions. And when Matthew makes what makes clear to them, A, I want this much money, and B, here's my plan for the next year and going forward. You know, then they get to the nitty gritty of it. Like, where does that come out? And then if another team comes along, say a Pittsburgh or the Giants, and offers a first round pick, you know, I just like look at that, these sorts of things, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, is all this going to match up? I don't know. You know, I don't know. Could Sam Darnold be an answer for them for the time being, who's from Los Angeles? I there's just a lot that they have to sort through. And I don't think it's necessarily the easiest thing in the world. If it was as easy as Sean McVay loves Matthew Stafford and wants him to be the quarterback in 2025, then yeah, like, let's go. But, you know, I don't think it's that simple.
All right. So before I let you go, the number that Brock Purdy's annual salary begins with next year is?
A 4 or 5. Is that what you're going to ask me?
Oh, it could be a 6. Could be a 6.
I'd say a 5.
Okay.
I think they're going to find a middle ground. I think he's going to wind up not being the highest paid. But I think, you know, one thing you can do for a quarterback is you can exchange the raw dollars for maybe an extra year of guarantees where you can give him the comfort level that you are going to be our quarterback, you know? And I think maybe the model's the Jared Goff deal, you know? Like if you're the Niners, you can look at him with a straight face and you can say, we think he can bring to our team what Jared Goff brings the Lions, you know? And like, this thing could be simple. It could wind up becoming really complicated. We'll see. The Niners want Brock Purdy to be their quarterback. Kyle Shanahan loves Brock Purdy. And the idea of building around Brock Purdy is something that really appeals to them. And they don't want to sink to the bottom of the league and have to rebuild around somebody else. And they've already done the Trey Lance thing. And so I think they're going to find a way to get it done. And the team's going to look different around him next year. And they're going to have to deal with some different challenges having a quarterback at the top of the market on their books. But they did deal with that once with Jimmy Garoppolo. They've got tough decisions to make on guys like Deebo Samuel, who I think is gone, you know, and they'll have some, you know, like they'll have some free agents that they're going to have that they really like that they'll have to probably let go of, like, you know, Charvarius Ward, and they're going to have to cut some veteran players like maybe a Javon Hargrave. I do think that Brock Purdy is going to be part of the equation, though.
Albert, thanks for the time. Keep pounding that emergency, brother. Be well.
Hey, you got that right. I didn't even tell you what it was.
Yeah,
how about that?
You know, I've been there, done that.
You got that exactly right. Emergency. There,
you know, you and I sometimes don't see eye to eye, but our sinuses do.
There you go.
Okay, very good. Take care of yourself, Bert. You're the best.
All right,
great season. Fresh. Great season. But and I'll see you in Indy, if not before.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert Breer, Prime Video, Thursday Night Football, Sports Illustrated. And Mr. Columbus, Ohio.
I think other than you guys, I saw Albert the most last week. I ran into him multiple times every day.
He works it. He is such a lead pipe wielding professional and a great human. We'll be back on the Rich Eisen Show at the Luca LeBron Parade. They're having one today. No, they're not. Wait a minute. Well, let's see if Rich Ackerman has that as part of his update.
Are you looking for a voice that truly represents your values? AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, was created to champion the needs of Americans who believe in faith, family, and freedom. Members gain access to incredible member benefits and discounts, including the award-winning AMAC magazine. From exclusive discounts on travel, insurance, everyday services, to a strong voice in Washington, the Association of Mature American Citizens is here to make a difference in your life and in our nation. Anybody at any age can join. And you'll belong to a community that stands for timeless American values. In honor of President Trump's first 100 days in office, AMAC is offering an incredible deal. Incredible. Enroll in a 5-year AMAC membership for 47% off. Normally it's $60. Join today. It's $32. That's $7 a year. Visit amac.us/mark. That's amac.us/mark. Join today. Take advantage of this special offer. That's amac.us/mark. Join AMAC and become part of a movement that stands for you, your family, and your future.
It's winter, and you can now get almost anything you need for the coldest months of the year delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a ski slope delivered, but you can get dish soap delivered. Sunshine, that's a no. But a bottle of wine, that's a yes. A snow angel, sorry, no. But angel hair pasta, Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Where did you take in the Super Bowl this year? Were you in Minnesota or were you not?
No, I had the opportunity to go to Minnesota, but we were in production on the series and I was still healing from a broken leg last summer.
Right.
So it seemed a little arduous, especially with the cold. And I like watching in the comfort of my home. I feel like you can analyze the game better. Live, it seems to go by so quickly. And I like to know the intricacies and nuances of who's hurt, whether they're coming back into the game, mm-hmm. all of those things that you kind of miss when you're there watching it live.
And so what did it mean to you? I mean, who
the
did you
world.
Call? What did it mean to you?
I was sitting with my 14-year-old son watching the game throughout with only a couple other, I didn't want too many people because I didn't want distractions. I wanted only people, football-minded, focused people.
You're talking Brockman's language over there.
Yeah, I'm not going to one of those parties where you're explaining the game to casual fans or like, you know, people don't understand the importance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched it in my theater. And even with the broken leg at the end of the game, I'm jumping. I have video of that, and I left the ground. I was like 2 feet off the ground at the end of that game, and it's unforgettable. And also to have your son right there with you, and then we got on the phone with my dad back east and FaceTiming with him. My dad's got tears, and he's not the type of guy to cry, but he's been waiting for this moment for 70 years, you know. It's really special when it does happen. And the most emotionally affected I got was watching the parade, and Jason Kelce. Kelce's speech was unbelievable.
With his mummer's gear, his mummer's
gear. But even before
gear.
They got to that, seeing the people of Philadelphia, knowing what it meant to the mentality of the city, to the future of the city in some ways, that really struck me. Just knowing how desperately the people wanted it.
You look like you're getting a little choked up.
I could if I talked about it.
By the way, he's got a little bit of a touch of the Vermeil right here.
He's getting
a touch of the Vermeil.
I'll take that. That's a compliment.
A touch of the Vermeil talking about your Eagles winning the whole damn
thing. Hey, next week,
yes.
I'm getting to go to the facilities and take a photo holding the Lombardi. My son and I are going to go.
Come
and
on.
I cannot wait, man. I cannot. That is going to be all over Instagram.
Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. Tweet us a photograph.
I will
that.
Absolutely do that.
So you're going to go there and just hang. I guess it's kind of all quiet right now before everybody comes back together.
Yeah, they get back into the offices on the 9th. The trophy actually gets engraved on the 12th. And so we're going to try to see it on the 10th or 11th before they send it out.
Pre-engraving.
Yeah, pre-engraving.
Pre-engraving Lombardi hold.
They offered me the option to get one of the rings. It was a Philly special ring, but it's meant to look like the real Eagle Super Bowl ring.
Well, the real McCoy is probably, it's a little bit more than whatever beer pong was had on the table last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Friend Ryan Filippi, we got to reach out to see how he's doing. He must be on cloud nine again.
Yeah,
must
right.
be on cloud nine.
Must be going nuts.
You know, there's a dog show right now on Fox Sports 2.
Yeah, that's the Westminster
Kennel
Club.
Love it.
They're in MSG
so
again.
Cool.
They're back in MSG.
I almost did it. Worked there.
I would give anything to mix Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2 right now. That'd be great. Here's LeSean McCoy talking about what a dog that Pomeranian is.
Oh, you mean
yeah.
mixing
it? Yeah, the facility
right.
covering the dog show, right?
Have you been to the dog show before?
Here's Chase Daniel breaking down the corgi. Emmanuel Acho angry about the all-around choice. Wouldn't that be great? FS1 and FS2 start. Again, TJ's tapping out. He has nothing to say right now.
I worked the 04 dog show for USA.
By the way, that is a missing piece in my resume.
Oh, you have
I would host a dog show in a heartbeat. Back here on the Rich Eisen show, everybody. In a heartbeat, I would host a dog show. And you'd watch it.
I could see you.
By the way, he's there. You're here.
I could see
he hosts it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. I PA'd for a couple days on the dog show. It was great.
It's a MSG. Great.
I saw Ice-T.
No.
Peter Jennings before he passed away.
At the dog show?
Yeah.
In New York?
I met Trump there. This is in 04.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did he walk in on the dogs getting ready?
No.
Is that wrong?
He was sitting down when I was.
Is that wrong? Is it too soon?
It's like you're asking for it. You know, it's like you're asking for it.
I would kill to do a dog show, man.
It was pretty fun. It was at the Garden when I did it. It was really fun.
I don't know if I'd do it like best in show. I'd have my fun. I would treat it seriously, but I'd still have my fun. You know,
like backstage, every dog has like its own cubicle, kind of the way it's set up. Like it was intense.
It's amazing.
People are intense. Like the handlers and the groomers, like they're so intense.
One year, I hosted a dog rescue dog show with Rebecca Romaine.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yes,
and I think it was on the Hallmark Channel. I think it was.
You're right about that.
And it was crazy. We shot it way out in the hinterlands here in Southern California. And it was recorded. It was not live. That's why I wanted to do a dog show live in the worst way. But I said yes to doing it because I've always wanted to do anything new with dogs. And I said yes to do it, even though it was on a playoff Sunday. It was in January. And I did game day morning. And then I schlepped out 2.5 hours to do this thing. Okay. And I remember looking down at my phone, not watching the game because we didn't have the internet capacity to stream it on my phone. And I was watching it on the ESPN app with the dots.
Gamecast.
Right?
Oh.
And all of a sudden, the Saints were on top of the Vikings with mere seconds to go.
That day?
And I thought to myself, this game is over. It's 99.9% chance of the Saints winning. And all of a sudden, the Vikings dot went from here to there. The dot on the field just went zoop. And I'm like, wait a minute, what happens? Like Stephon Diggs, touchdown. It was the Minnesota miracle.
Wow. Yeah.
And I missed it. Because I was on the set with Rebecca Romaine talking about a beautiful rescue dog. Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, we're not going to feel bad for you.
No, I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just trying to explain how crazy my life is sometimes, you know?
Rebecca Romaine.
I missed the Minnesota miracle.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, when those things happen on your phone, you think it's got to be a glitch or something.
Sure.
So I kept hitting refresh, and I'm like, nope.
That was crazy.
2017 season, 2018?
Yeah,
2017 season. Yeah,
because Case Keenan then went to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Eagles, who won their first That was back in that day.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, man. That's the story of the one and only dog show I've ever hosted.
Pretty good.
But I would love to do a live dog show.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I would want to get out there and I'd want to walk them around myself.
Oh, you know, do the hosts
get up and feed them?
No,
they don't.
No, but you want to
go out. Rich would be like, "Can I handle?"
They don't. They don't. That's inserting yourself into the action.
I will handle the golden retriever
because I'd be like the Eugene Levy character with two left feet.
That's crazy.
Remember that from Best in Show. Eugene Levy had two.
He wins.
I never. You never seen Best in Show?
Oh, TJ.
Oh, come on.
Nah.
Do you like the Christopher Guest movies? You're not really into them.
They're cool. It's nothing that like it's on the rotation.
You ever see Waiting for Guffman? You've never seen that?
I know Waiting for Guffman. Oh, I don't know that I've ever watched
it. Best in Show.
You've never seen Waiting for Guffman either?
No. I haven't. I've seen Best in Show.
Though. I haven't either.
Why wouldn't you see Waiting for Guffman?
I don't know. I was 15 and just missed it.
You live with somebody who lives and breathes comedy.
It's not a black and white movie, Chris.
This is as great as it comes.
I get it. I mean, okay. Like I said,
now,
Waiting
for Guffman's are rain.
I was 15 and I just missed it.
Fred Willard in Waiting for Guffman deserved an Academy Award nomination.
What is it
about?
Waiting
for Guffman.
Is that giving it away?
It's about a small town.
Okay.
Okay. That makes stools. Okay. And they put on a local theater performance. And it's about the community coming together and hoping to make Broadway from their small theater company and the delusion that they go through to think about it. Guffman is the theater critic that they've been told that is going to attend their performance. And they think that Guffman will give them such a review that their lives are about to change and they're going to Broadway. And it's Catherine O'Hara and it's Eugene Levy and it's the Parker Posey and the rest of the cast and Christopher Guest as Corky St. John, who is the person who considers himself the producer of producers. Dude.
Okay. Funny.
Must. And then, of course, Best in Show. If you like Best in Show, it's based on, it's the same thing.
Right. 91% on the Rotten Tomatoes.
Correct, sir. Right. So at least I'm right.
There you go.
I saw The Princess Bride and he was in that. So I don't know if that counts.
Eugene Levy, as you know, is brilliant.
No, that was that.
It's filled with funny, brilliant people doing funny, brilliant things, and you got to see it. End of story. By tomorrow. All right. Tonight. Hour three coming up. Luca LeBron, Dave McMenamin on being there last night.
YouTube personality Benny Johnson has cracked the code on a new era of newsmaking.
It's got to be music to your ears. It's like the angels singing.
Listen, learn, and laugh.
I had a feeling you'd be in a very good mood. Oh, this is going to be a glorious day on Capitol Hill for you, sir.
It's a new cultural landscape.
So it's an important moment right now. Does this deserve another look?
The Benny Show.
Seize it in all of its glory.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.